This is Christmas and it is solstice, two events which have very similar messages and are profoundly meaningful. But first, I want to ask you, from where does your Christmas spirit come from? Is it from the nativity stories in the Gospels? Is it more Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, who, incidentally, in life identified with Unitarianism, where the message is tenderness for the past, courage for the present, and hope for the future? Or perhaps you are solstice-centered, more pagan than traditional Christian. And of course, I like all three. Christmas tends to bring out in us acts of kindness, which I think emanate from the divine spark, which is within all of us. It is no accident that the new Christian sect chose this time of the year to celebrate the birth of the Messiah. It is the time when the sun shines the least, in the northern hemisphere at least. It is the time when the coldest and darkest season is coming to an end. Warmth is slowly returning. The sun sets even later and rises ever earlier. And despite the darkness, this time of year is full of hope and full of promise. For it heralds the coming spring, the promise of brighter days and new life sprouting from the earth. The light is indeed overcoming the darkness. And how blessed are we to have such dramatic changes in our seasons. So it is fitting that we celebrate at this time of the year, and we mark it with songs and gatherings, rich food and gifts, family and friends. But at the same time, we may feel some unbearable sadness when not everyone we love is near to us. Christmas can bring with it pain, loneliness, even regret, so much so that many wish it away, trying desperately to avoid those ads on the telly depicting perfect family joy and singing, "I wish it could be Christmas every day." And also many will spend these days in grinding poverty, unable to give or even receive joy. We should acknowledge that there are two different accounts of the birth of Jesus in Scripture, but never mind. I was taught what is important is that it is the story of God coming into the world to save us from sin. But the two accounts are told in Matthew and Luke's Gospels, and Matthew has the Holy Family going from Bethlehem to Nazareth, whereas Luke has them starting out in Nazareth and ending up in Bethlehem. Matthew has the Magi, the three kings, where Luke makes no mention of them, but does tell us about shepherds. And there are other significant differences. The nativity is not told in either Mark or John, but what is common in both is that Jesus has a mom and a dad who were poor and struggled with the rest of their community, with the inequalities and the oppressive Roman Empire that ruled them. It is suggested that Jesus was brown-skinned, undocumented, and he was an immigrant. His community struggled against the ungodly and oppressive religious authorities at the time. And Jesus came to know these people very, very well, and in the end, they presided over his death. So at the center of the Christmas season is the birth of Jesus. But is this what you are celebrating today? As we heard yesterday, the Puritans outlawed this festival, and they are part of our Unitarian history. They objected to the singing and the dancing, the drinking, the rich food that became synonymous with Christmas. But is there an elephant in the room for Unitarians, or should I say baby in the room? Born of a virgin, spoken of by the prophets, God incarnate, Hosanna in the highest. But I don't think so. The story of the birth of Jesus is theology, not history. We honor the story, and we do so at this most special time of the year, which is also the time when we watch for the returning warmth of the sun and the slow emergence of wild flowers. I hold that it is a celebration of the birth of a rebel, a troublemaker, a man spoken of the prophets whose lyrics and stories are told in the Old Testament. It is widely claimed, taught, and believed that Jesus' birth, his life, and his teaching, indeed his death, was foretold in the Old Testament, and that Joseph, Jesus' father, was a direct descendant of King David. The Bible is, of course, a library of books, stories written over the course of some 4,000 years by people as diverse as the people of the earth itself. That library of books were chosen as an account of God's relationship with this planet and all who live upon it. And that library was agreed at a number of church councils at the end of the 4th century in the Common Era. Just a small amount of history, just a small bit of history. So the Council of Nivea was in 325 of the Common Era. And that was the first gathering of Christian leaders in order to get consensus about belief. And it famously dealt with the widespread belief, and indeed heresy, that Jesus was human and not divine, or rather that he did not have a divine nature identical with that of the Father. It also dealt with the other heresy, that God was unity rather than Trinity. So Unitarian ideas go back a long, long way. But at Nicaea, we have the very first uniform Christian doctrine called the Nicene Creed, and it is spoken in both Roman Catholic and Protestant churches every Sunday. And you know it. It begins, "We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." Now, it affirms the divinity of Jesus and the Trinitarian nature of God. One of the arguments was that the invisible and unknowable God, who he was for the Jewish people, had to reveal himself in a man, in the baby Jesus, so that we might receive an idea of God. And once this was accepted by the civil authorities and the monarchs, it dominated all theology for centuries. Despite this and the persecutions over the centuries, our belief in the unity and oneness of God and in the humanity of Jesus remains. We don't concern ourselves with dogmas or doctrines, but we do honor the stories and the wisdom that continue to emerge in our search for truth. So this is Christmas and this is solstice. We can celebrate joyfully like the fairies who came to witness the death and rebirth of the sun. We celebrate the story recounted in Luke as read at our carol service, the birth of a rebel and a troublemaker who took on the religious authorities of his time and who serves as an inspiration for us on how we might love. He was born into poverty and he was killed like a common criminal. We don't have any eyewitness accounts in the Gospels. The Gospel authors did not write history, they wrote theology. And I suspect if there was, they would say, his love was so powerful, it gifted the most maligned in society with healing, with dignity, with hope and faith, that life does indeed have meaning and purpose. He also taught us that God is neither bound by tradition or impressed by protocol. Islam believes Jesus was a prophet and a messenger from God. The error we hold is that we need to develop a complicated set of dogmas and doctrines, rules and confessions in order to be worthy of the Creator's love. So finally, there is one piece of wisdom common among the great philosophies and theologies ever uttered since the beginning of time, the Golden Rule, spoken first by Confucius. Love one another. Do unto others what you would have them do to you. Refrain from inflicting pain upon one another, because all the rest is just commentary. Amen, and happy Christmas.